Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Nick Goodland, who is the CEO and founder of Design Thumbprint. Today, we're going to be discussing Nick's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Nick.
Thank you.
So to get started, let's dive into a couple of questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So, you know, what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Honestly, I think for me, it's just helping other people and watching them grow their business. You know, I used to be in the corporate world for a long time. So I kind of, you know, learned what it was like to the chair that I'm sitting in now as an owner of a company. I used to be able to meet with those people all the time. And it was not much different back then in a sense of just trying to do whatever we could do to help people's bottom lines grow. Whether it was cost saving measures, whether it was growth measures through sales or whatever it is. And for me, I would say the most rewarding thing is just working with businesses of all sizes, but it's very rewarding just watching people's business grow based on the work that we do. And I think if we use that mentality, then, you know, we'll always be successful for the most part and who we're working with.
Yes.
But getting to know people personally and building relationships with people, I would say the thing that drives me the most is from an emotional standpoint, at least, is just trying to help people meet their goals, grow their businesses, and have some kind of an impact, you know, from where we sit on being able to do that. So I would say that motivates me the most.
That's awesome. I love that. And I agree. Just having that, you know, that genuine passion and desire to want to help them, it really comes through in the quality of work that you're able to produce for your clients.
It's funny because a lot of times they tell you as a business owner to kind of take your emotions out of things in a lot of cases, but I think I'm more of a relationship builder in a lot of cases. So I do become very close with a lot of our clients, you know, where we can. And like I said, that emotional part of it, of really taking an interest in their lives and their business and stuff, at the end of the day, it's going to be the most rewarding for me, that the impact that we have on their business, I think, is really what just drives me to do a good job every single day, and our team as well. And I've kind of instilled that kind of value into our team members as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think it's so important to just have that driving factor. Like what is your why? And if it's something that comes from an emotional standpoint, you know, and at the end of the day, it's going to help fuel your drive to make the business succeed and provide great work, then I think that makes so much sense.
Yeah, definitely. I think I learned early on that if you try to put money first into everything and take some of those other things out of it, that the motivation just isn't there. You know, you're just kind of going through the motions or whatever it is. But if you really put those other things first, the money itself just takes care of itself. So
I agree.
And like I said, it's just I've met so many great people, worked with so many amazing companies, organizations. I've learned a lot from them. So it's been a good learning experience for me. Mm-hmm. And I think if we just use that core philosophy of really focusing on the growth of others' businesses versus really the money they're paying us, that ultimately, if you do that for them, you don't need to worry about it because the money will come to you. So
yeah,
we're exactly. A little bit different in that we like to build the relationships. We like to take an emotional investment into who we work with. And I think that that's what's really helped us grow.
Very good. Okay. And then so tell us, how did you originally get into the digital marketing space?
It's kind of a weird story, but I was in corporate world for about 10 years. I worked at UPS, and through that experience, which was great, I was able to just meet a lot of business owners and figure out what their challenges were, figure out, in a lot of cases where they spent their money and they focused their effort and energy. And so through the last few years that I was there, I always knew I had a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit and kind of figured if I don't do this now, then I'm going to be stuck here forever scenario at UPS.
Yeah.
So I just kind of, like I said, I learned a lot just by talking to these people. Cause I don't, you know, I've got a little bit of a marketing background from going to school for it, but I didn't really put the marketing side of things into play really until I started this company. So I just kind of had to learn from others, learn where their pain points were. And again, because I had that philosophy even back then of building strong relationships, I was able to get a lot of that information. And so I just kind of took that and said, okay, I don't really know how to do a whole lot of technical things, but I can figure it out and I can hire people to be able to help me with it. And let's piggyback the relationships that I've built to really try to figure out how we can help people grow their business. And that was, I believe August of 2015 or 2016 is when we launched. So, so really, it was just kind of my desire to go out and meet business owners and figure out what we could do to help their business. And through that experience in my previous corporate position, just kind of learned where they really focused a lot of their time to try to help grow their business, and marketing always seemed to be a challenge. So I'm a problem solver. And I just said, you know, what can we create that will maybe help solve some of these problems and help people grow?
Interesting. Okay. So in 2015, you decided to make the jump from working corporate and to start Design Thumbprint.
Correct.
And yeah, so what was it like in those early days? You know, how did you bring on those first few clients?
It was hard. So
yeah,
the hardest part was I woke up, you know, I had quit my other job and kind of, you know, cleaned up everything that I had going on over there. And I just woke up one Monday and was like, okay, how do we start building the brand? And I think I threw on a pair of slacks and a button-up shirt, hopped in my car and just started going to different business plazas that were around my house and walking in and just started having conversations with people. Probably was kicked out of 90% of the doors I walked into, but that's kind of where you have to start. And and of course, you know, I made some phone calls to some previous relationships and things that I had had, but it really just started there, just kind of forming a circle around where I lived and just trying to knock on doors and figure out, you know, how we could help people. I think it took me probably 3 months to earn our first contract with anybody. It was very small, but it was still a win in a sense of somebody entrusting their business to us. So the first couple of years that we formed was just learning the market, learning what we needed to offer, learning how we needed to price it. And then just getting better at figuring out those problems, how to solve them. And here we are. So we were, you know, lucky enough to make it over that hump and get here today. But the early days are always the toughest, just because you kind of have a company, but you know, you're just kind of going in blind and trying to figure out the market. So it was just a lot of conversations that led us to figure out, you know, where we needed to be from a industry specific standpoint to help people out and just learn. And we're still learning, you know, 7 years later or whatever it is. So it's always a learning curve. But yeah, I will say the first few months is definitely the hardest. I mean, you're not really pulling in any money, which is okay. You just have to figure out you're eventually going to solve those problems so that people will start trusting their business with you, which is always a hard thing to do. So the early days are the toughest for sure. I wasn't eating very well. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
I was eating like rice and eggs and things like that. But you know, we all have those stories. So it's good to go back and kind of revisit that sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So it was mostly just going, you know, like cold introducing yourself, going door to door. That was
correct,
the main way that you sort of got your name out there.
Yeah. I think the first client I landed was a meat company, like a company that like a little butcher block that sold meats in the plaza. They were really good. So I ended up buying some steaks, I think, when I was there. I don't know if that moved the needle in my favor, but you know, they were the ones that kind of kept calling me back, asking for help, and we were able to help them grow. And so I kind of gained some confidence there. And I think at the end of the day, that's just what it boils down to, is just gaining confidence in what you're doing is working. And it does take some time to get there. And obviously there's some trial and error, but you know, lo and behold, we've been able to go from that little story all the way to where we're at now. And it's going to continue to just be a learning experience, but you know, you just kind of got to get out there, do it, beat the pavement, pound some doors, be told no. Luckily, I was used to that already. So, so it kind of worked out.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So, you know, fast forward to today, you know, what do your sales initiatives look like now? You know, how are you bringing in leads into your agency currently and then closing those prospects?
Yeah. So our initiative every year is obviously to grow like anybody else's is in some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the original days, it was a lot of networking, which we're kind of past that phase now. And we're really trying to, you know, utilize technology, utilize a lot of different platforms to bring leads in for ourselves. So the nice part is we actually offer lead generation as a service. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of doing business to business leads that we get for other people. So we kind of have a lot of that dialed in terms of what we know. So the key for us has been transitioning to a new branding strategy in the last, let's say, 2 years, where we know the industries that we help the most. So we're really just trying to continue to build out very specific buyer personas that we know are good for us, that we know we can service, that we know we can help grow very quickly. Mm-hmm. And just what we do is we just keep developing case study after case studies and testimonials and really just trying to create that lookalike audience for our persona that we're going to target and figure out what those business types look like. So a lot of that boils down to how big is the business we're targeting? What industry are they in? How many employees do they have? You know, the different things that we know based on who we service the best. And then we're really trying to dial in our outreach to those specific people to get leads coming our way. So that's been working great since we became hyper-focused. And yeah, we just have a team of people that do some cold outreach for us that, you know, go and we utilize different technology tools to identify who those people are and those companies and put the messaging out. And so it's kind of a numbers game, but yeah, we get leads coming in quite a bit and just obviously work those leads through. So I think being more focused has really helped us. I would say helped us with our pitch, just because we don't want to just pitch people. We want to actually show them like, hey, we've got a client that looks just like you. This is what we did for them, and give them the whole story so that it really paints the picture of what it's like working with us and what they can expect. That's what makes it a lot easier. And so yeah, moving forward, because we are hyper-focused on that, the growth strategy is to really focus on the types of clients that we know we can help day one.
Okay. So does your team, do they do cold outreach, or you guys, once the leads come in, you're really just nurturing those leads from there?
It's a little bit of both. So the cold outreach kind of gets the leads coming in. And again, we use different tools to be able to identify who those prospects could be. And then we have, you know, like I said, very automated and hyper-targeted content and messaging that goes out to those people.
Right.
And continuously tweak that message. But yeah, the leads come in, and then typically from there, we just work them all the way through and try to nurture them to a client. And we have two different levels that we do. We've got more generic leads that come in for mm-hmm. ourselves. Just kind of made, there might be an ad out there with a call to action that is relatively generic and people just want to learn more about what we do, all the way to, we have a very defined lead generation program where we're getting stuff all the way to the point of booking it on our calendars. And then I just go and show up and meet with them, or somebody from business development does, just goes and shows up and meets with them. They're waiting on us. And you know, those are more high quality. They're a little bit less frequent. So it just depends on the time constraints that we have on what we can work at any given time. And that's kind of the whole strategy, is just to continuously have that flow of leads coming in.
Absolutely. So how do you guys differentiate yourselves from other agencies out there?
I think so. You know, it's kind of a blessing in a sense, but one of the things that has really helped us and made us successful, well, there's two things. Number one, again, is being hyper-targeted on who we want to go after, who we want to help.
Yes.
But secondly, the one thing that I started offering quite a long time ago, I'd say a good 4 or 5 years ago, was what we call trial periods with our clients, because I'm a true believer in order to ask for someone's business long-term, you have to earn it versus just trying to pitch them to trust you to do it. So
you got to build that trust.
We try to make or put as little risk as possible onto the people that we want to do business with, so that we can actually have time to show them what our capabilities are. And again,
yeah,
I know
makes
not
so much sense.
I know not everybody can be in that position. You know, you have to have a little bit of financial security to be able to do it, but we decided a long time ago, let's do an earned business model. Let's give people a sampling of what we do. Let them report back to us that even the little amounts of things that we're doing are proving to them that there is a good return on investment in doing business with us. then at that point, we can really build out longer term strategies because the confidence is there that we're going to do a good job. Since we've switched to being able to offer that, I would say most every client that we've had has stuck with us long term when the situation calls for it. So I think if you take that time to really build out a way to earn someone's business and earn their trust, that it makes our job so much easier. Because frankly, sometimes we need to use that time to dial something in for them too. And so, you know, we don't want to go in long term and then just be spinning our wheels, not being able to help somebody. I mean, our ultimate goal is to help people. So I think since we've switched to that earned business model and giving people trial periods with us where the financial risk upfront is either zero or very minimal, then number one, that allows us to get a lot of people into our pipeline and actually doing work for them and really kind of building that trust. So it's a much easier yes for them to say, let's give it a shot and see what you guys can do. And we're not going to put any long-term contracts in front of them until we actually prove that the work we're doing is returning and returning their investment to them. So that makes that whole process much easier. It's a little bit more, I guess, costly for us to do it that way, but the long-term results of and positivity far outweighs that. So I would say that's what differentiates us the most, is that we really spend a lot of time, money, and energy trying to earn trust of clients versus just trying to put a contract in front of them from the beginning and having them trust us.
That's really interesting. So is that something, do you guys offer, is it a free trial or it's just, you know, there it's paid services, but they're just not locked into any type of contract or retainer?
It totally depends, but it's always going to be free in a sense that we're not going to charge them for our time. So we'll do all the work for them. Now, if there's situations like lead generation is a good example of this, or social media management, where they're trying to either sell a product or sell a service on there. The only thing that we'll ask for in those scenarios during that period of time is a budget, if we need a budget to run advertising on there, but we'll never have them pay us any money to our pocket for our time. So 100% of any budgets that we ask for, if the situation calls for it, go towards the spend, whether it's like Facebook, Google, other social media outlets. So the risk is very minimal to them. And we'll just do it in little chunks to where, you know, it might be a few $100s or, depending on the industry, a couple $1,000s here and there, where it's like, okay, instead of us putting these large year-long contracts in front of you, let's just take it one step at a time and baby steps until we get to the point. And that requires a lot of patience, but until we get to the point that we're showing them that this really does work. And so, yeah, it depends. Every situation is a little bit different. But yeah, we never take a dime to our own pocket during those times. We're trying to prove ourselves. And we feel like if we earn the long-term business, then that far outweighs, like I said, just getting a little bit of money up front from somebody. So we don't ever put a contract in front of somebody until we know that they've given us the green light that, yes, this is working for us. You know,
yeah.
So it's been a great model for us.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that's a really interesting way to just build trust, because in digital marketing, it's so common that, you know, agencies, they encounter clients who have been burned in the past. So, you know, they kind of have their guard up more often than you'd like to hear. So that's a really great way to sort of combat that issue and just help build trust with them.
Definitely. Yeah. I think, you know, one of the industries that we got lucky enough to get into, and it just happened to be a great client that we were, that I think he had a passion for helping small businesses himself. So he's like, let me give you guys a shot. And that was an attorney, like a pretty big law firm here in town. And they're still with us. We help him with pet projects all the time, even if it's not even attorney stuff or attorney related stuff. But he totally trusts us. He gave us a lot of confidence in the beginning. And I learned very early on, especially in an industry like attorneys, where that's such a competitive industry, that you have to do something to set yourself apart. Because he even told me, I get 15 or 20 calls a day coming from marketing agencies all the time. So I'm like, okay, how are we ever going to combat that? How are we going to call somebody and let them know that we're different whenever they're getting the same phone call 15 or 20 times? So I think that's kind of what separated us, was let's build a program where people can at least get a 15, 30, 45 day time period where they're not spending much of any money with us, but we're doing a lot of work on our end. And I think from a perception standpoint, I think they just like that and saying, like, I know these guys are spending a lot of time on this and a lot of their resources. How are they ever going to make money? And I think they understand that we're pretty confident in what we're doing. So if we're offering something like that, that we know that we can get something dialed in for them. It's not always the case, but most of the time we're pretty confident what we're doing. So
yeah.
So that's what's really helped us get to where we're at. And honestly, a lot of our best leads come from referrals from current clients because we do things that way. And they even tell them about the model that we have. So,
That's awesome.
I think we're, like I said, fortunate enough to be able to do that. And I don't think that'll ever change. That's probably something that is the biggest differentiator that we have, that it was maybe won us some awards, really from a trust and ethical standpoint. So that part of the model will never change for me.
Okay. Awesome. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing your agency?
COVID.
Yeah.
The curveballs that are thrown at you, I guess. And the biggest one ever was 2020, COVID, because I think we were on a pretty good growth trajectory at that point and really had it all figured out as to what direction we were going. And that just totally wiped a lot of that out. So we had to really kind of pivot and figure out, okay, not only how do we get through this period of time, but things are going to probably be different coming out of that period of time, in which we're still kind of coming out of that period of time. And
yeah,
and how do we, you know, go and figure out how to come up with contingencies and different ways to do business if we have to, because the world's not easy and stuff like that happens. And so that was by far the biggest, I guess, at least challenge from just something that happened out in the world that threw a big curveball at us. Other than that, the biggest challenge has always just been different milestones that we need to hit our business. So it's like, okay, what do we need? When do we need to hire this resource? And when do we need to do that? So we're still in growth mode in year 7. We're not a huge company. Mm-hmm. We hope to, you know, be bigger, obviously big someday, but the biggest challenges are just when you're a small business owner, especially starting out and even getting into this point of year 7, there's a lot of decisions that you have to make, and you have to make them pretty quickly. And sometimes they're wrong, sometimes they're right, but those decisions have a humongous impact on the direction of your business. So
yes,
the decision-making element, which typically is when do you hire people and what does that person need to be and all these different things as you're trying to grow, because frankly, it's reinvesting everything back into your business. The hardest part's not paying yourself if you want to grow, is just how do you reinvest all this money back versus giving it to yourself for all of your hard work? And what are those decisions need to look like to make sure that your growth goals are always going to be met? So, okay. But the biggest challenge by far, just from a situational standpoint, has been COVID, because we lost a lot of clients during that time. We lost some workers, and coming back from that has been a challenge. It's been fun and unique trying to pivot our model, but
yes,
I would say that was certainly a time that wasn't a whole lot of fun trying to figure all of that out, just because it was so fast that everything just kind of plummeted. So
yeah,
it is what it is, and we moved on from it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly. But first we have the Fast 5, which are 5 rapid fire questions for you. So first question, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
There's one called, and I don't even know the author's name, it's called The One Thing. It was one that I read very early on. I think it's a bestseller, so a lot of people have probably read it. That one had a big impact in a sense of just learning how to structure your business around, you know, the core thing that you do the best. Or coming up with one, kind of like what we've talked about, with a differentiator for your company. And there's a lot of different levels to the one thing, but I think the best comparable thing that they make in there is like Apple. Apple's a company that they do one thing that everybody recognizes, which is the iPhone. And then they sell a lot of products because of their trust that people build in that. So, and the book goes a lot deeper into that, but it really does make you hyper-focused on different areas and the one thing in certain areas that are really going to help your business grow. And that's the one book that I've read more than one time. And I apply a lot of those principles today.
That's great advice. And I love that recommendation. And then, so what does your morning routine look like?
It's different every day because I have a 2.5-year-old.
can relate to
so
that.
So the time that I wake up depends on, you know, kind of what his schedule looks like. But it's typically wake up around, I'd say 6 o'clock is kind of my goal, 6 to 6:30. Mm-hmm. And then I like to spend that morning time drinking coffee and playing with my son until my wife gets out of bed, and then I typically go to the gym from there and get to the office by 9 or 9:30 is my goal. And then I tend to work a little bit later because that office time is a little bit later in the morning, but that's just kind of the routine that works best for my family. So I like to have about that 30 minutes to myself in the morning to do whatever it is I need to do, read, do some devotionals or whatever it might be. But it's pretty similar every day in a sense of playing time with my child until I have to go to the gym and then go to work. So that's been working for me for quite some time and probably will be that way for a long time to come.
Very good. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
There is not that I can really put my finger on. I think I take little nuggets from things I read here and there, but not one specifically that I care to study.
Okay. And what is your favorite online tool?
I would say right now, because I use it so much, it's ActiveCampaign, if you're familiar with that. But it's just any, and whether it's that, I've used like HubSpot in the past or whatever, but any automation tool, something that I can use my own creativity or the creativity of our team to create really good content, but just really automate the processes that we're trying to do here when we outreach to people.
Yeah.
So we can use that tool for so many different things, whether it's a CRM, kind of a sales funnel, and then obviously all the way to the point of creating content and automating all the messaging that we put out in front of people to stay, you know, brand aware out in the community. So that's the tool I use the most, and the tool that, again, I've tried a lot of them. That's just the one that's the most, that's the easiest for me. That seems robust enough to get the job done.
Yeah. I love ActiveCampaign. We use it as well at Review Robin, and it's such a great tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's made my life so much easier. There's a lot of, if you put the right amount of work into it, it can be a tool that just works for you while you sleep, which is amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
How hard it is to make money. Sometimes, again, it takes time to get there, but yeah. I think, you know, most people that want to be entrepreneurial, there's some luck involved in it, but it's hard work. I mean, you got to put in the time. So I think a lot of people think that business owners just in a lot of senses might have it easy, or they have a lot of money because they own companies. And it's simply not the case. The thing that I've learned is it's much easier to actually collect a paycheck and have somebody else pay for your insurance and have all these different things. So it does take, I think that's the reason why so many businesses fail, is that you have to really scrape by for a long time. Even when money is good, you have to kind of scrape by and reinvest that into your company. So
yes,
I think the difficulty level of earning business, earning trust, all those different things within your community and playing the game that you have to is, I think it's just a lot longer than what you expect going into it. I was a very confident person because I did so well in my previous role, but it doesn't translate into easy business when you start something new because nobody knows who you are. So you have to, you know, building your story overnight and becoming a success is never easy. Like, it takes so much longer in your head than everything does. Sales cycles are so much longer when you're trying to do it on your own. Mm-hmm. So whatever ease level that you think it is, it's 10 times harder. And however even difficult you think it is, it's 10 times harder and more difficult to continue on a path of success. Whereas going into it, I just thought it was going to be so easy because I had so much success in a prior role. That does not translate ever into success in a business without just putting in the time and learning the market and learning the industry. So had I known it was that difficult, would I have done it? Sure, I'm crazy, but... But I think the path to success has been much longer than I guess I probably originally anticipated. And I'm so glad that it has been, because through that process, I've learned so much that's going to make everything so much easier for the next 7 years that we're in business. But
yeah,
I think there's just a lot of, there's so much information and content and different things out there that make being an entrepreneur seem so easy and fun and whatever it is. And it's just not the case. I mean, it's fun if you enjoy what you do, but It's not easy. It's never easy. And anyone that tells you that it is probably fooling you. I think if you take a dose of reality, it's very hard work. You have to put in a lot of time. You have to make a lot of sacrifices. You have to have a lot of losses, in all honesty, to learn. So it's just, the path is so much longer and more difficult, in my opinion, than I think I ever thought it was going to be. And that's fine. I think without it being that difficult, none of us would be where we're at. We wouldn't have the same type of values that we do. So there's give and take to all of that.
Yeah. So one thing you wish you would have known is that you need a good dose of patience because it's going to take longer than you think it is. And also
a good dose of patience and a good dose of reality because it's just not as simple as picking up the phone and making a sale. It's not, that's not how it works in our environment. Now, maybe some other types of things when you're selling a widget, different story. In our case, we are selling ourselves first and foremost, and then selling the service. It's very difficult to do that when you're starting out.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to have that grit so that you can get through the hard times and just pay your dues. It's just a process that you've got to go through.
Got to put your 10,000 hours in is what they say, right?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Nick. It was a real pleasure to have you on the podcast, and I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Same with you. Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.